The Reviver of Sunnah, the Reviver of Sunnah, Imam Ahmed Reza. The Reviver of Sunnah, Imam Ahmed Reza. The Reviver of Sunnah.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen, amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani channel, welcome and marhaba to another episode in this beautiful silsila where we discuss the biography of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the reviver of the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And inshallah, in today's episode, we are going to be discussing Sayyidi Ala Hazrat's steadfastness on the Sharia of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah, such an important aspect of his life that was dedicated to guarding and defending the Sharia of Rasulullah as well as he practiced it throughout his life. And before we get to that, inshallah, let us first listen to this beautiful hadith with regards to the virtues of durood and salam in the court of our master Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he has stated that the one closest to me on the day of judgment will be the one who has recited the most durood upon me. Sallu alal habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, joining me today again is our respected Mawlana Nawshad Sahib Qibla. Jazakallahu khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh and ameen. Alhamdulillah, we have another beautiful aspect to talk about Ala Hazrat rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, and we hope that our viewers and our listeners out there will stay right till the end to get
inshallah,
the message.
Inshallah, I hope so. Viewers, please stay with us, and inshallah, we are going to learn such beautiful words of wisdom from the Mubarak writing of Sayyidi Ala Hadrat radiyallahu ta'ala, and what he has to say about the Sharia of Rasulullah, as well as we are going to highlight some of the aspects of Ala Hadrat's life as to how steadfast he was on the Sharia of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam practically, and he showed us the true example as to how we must adhere to the Sharia of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in everything we do. Inshallah, let's first of all listen to this beautiful manqabat in the praise of Sayyidi Ala Hadrat Mujaddid Deen wa Millat rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. A very beautiful poetry. Shair says,
Jalwa hai noor hai ki sarapa raza ka hai. Jalwa hai noor hai ki sarapa raza ka hai. Tasveere sunniyat hai ki chehra raza hai. Tasveer sunniyat hai ke chehra raza ka hai. Wadi raza ki kohe Himala raza ka hai. Wadi raza ki kohe Himala raza hai. Jis samt dekhiye wo ilaqa raza ka hai. Jis samt dekhiye wo ilaqa raza ka hai. Alfaz beh rahe hain daleelon ki dhaar par. Alfaz beh rahe hain daleelon ki dhaar par. Chalta hua qalam hai ki dhara raza ka hai. Chalta hua قلم ہے کہ دھارا رضا کا ہے. دریا فصاحتوں کے رواں شاعری میں ہے, دریا فصاحتوں کے رواں شاعری میں ہے. یہ سہل ممتنع ہے کہ لہجہ رضا کا ہے, جو اس نے لکھ دیا ہے سند ہے وہ دین میں, جو اس نے لکھ دیا ہے سند ہے وہ دین میں. اہل قلم کی آبرو نقطہ رضا کا ہے, اہل قلم کی آبرو نقطہ رضا کا ہے. اگلوں نے بھی لکھا ہے بہت علم دین پر, اگلوں نے بھی لکھا ہے بہت علم دین پر, جو کچھ ہے اس صدی میں وہ تنہا رضا کا ہے.
MashaAllah, Huzur, and it is not an exaggeration that whatever works that we are seeing in the world of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah, alhamdulillah, majority of it, if you have an overview, a bird eye view, it seems that Ala Hazrat's work is widespread everywhere. Allahu Akbar, the world is benefiting from the works of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala, alhamdulillah.
You know, if you go to any Darul Iftah that is really functional, one of the elite books will be Fatawa Razviya. A Darul Iftah is not complete without Fatawa Razviya. And you are so right that, you know, Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, his work, his explanations, his research, it has infiltrated everywhere. Even sometimes people will use his work, but maybe they'll change the name, or they'll put a different author's name. But then if you know Ala Hazrat's research and his books, you say, but this is what Ala Hazrat says. This is also the research of Ala Hazrat. So people are taking from Ala Hazrat, even if they're not associating that work with Ala Hazrat.
Allah. That is like a seal of endorsement when Ala Hazrat says something, you know. A researcher might do his research and everything, but at the end, he will derive the conclusion from the work of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat radiyallahu ta'ala anhu.
Some people out there might be thinking that, you know, why are we emphasizing so much on this personality, Ala Hazrat rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi? Like, you know, others didn't do anything. It's not that, actually. I mean, again, if you really want to appreciate what Ala Hazrat has done to highlight what are the correct Islamic beliefs, to defend the honor of Allah Azza wa Jalla and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sahaba, Ahlul Bayt and Awliya Allah, and how really, you know, he used his pen as, this was his weapon against the enemies of Islam, how he defended. And whenever we have an issue, whenever we have a problem or a mas'ala or some ruling that is required, we'll always find a reference to Ala Hazrat. He made it easy for us. He did that, so much of research with the references. He gave us Fatawa Razviya, which is like almost 22,000 pages in length. And you know, so we just have to go and follow his advices, because whatever he gave us is grounded in the Quran and the Sunnah, Quran and Hadith. And this basically is two of the main components of the Sharia, with Ijma, with Qiyas as well. But whatever his, or anything, even his poetry as well, Hadaika Bakhshish, this as well is grounded in the Sharia. And this is basically our topic today, Ala Hazrat in the light of Sharia and his steadfastness on Sharia, his spiritual exercises and his piety and closeness to Allah Azza wa Jal.
SubhanAllah, Masa, beautifully said. And when we look at the life of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, as you mentioned that, you know, our viewers out there, they might think, why are we highlighting the personality of Ala Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala in such a manner? This is actually an understatement what we are discussing.
100%.
Believe me, if you go through the works of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala anhu, you will come and tell me that why is there this undertone? In fact, his praises should be even more. Allahu Akbar.
People will say, you're not being justice.
Yes. Yet. Subhanallah. So this is what happens when you actually look at his works. I mean, not from hearsay. Go and actually read some of his works. And his books are, alhamdulillah, available through the efforts of Dawat Islami and Maktabatul Madina and the research department of Dawat Islami, the Tahreeh department of Dawat Islami, and so many Shobajat that are there in Dawat Islami that are currently working and are dedicated to only to the books of Ala Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala anhu.
In fact, we'll give a challenge to our dear viewers and listeners. Challenge and at the same time a request. That download those books, read those books, and you know, you judge for yourself. Don't let us just tell you about it. And you know, subhanAllah, many people around the world who perhaps never heard of Allah Hazrat Imam Ahmad Rizal Khan, alayhi rahmatu rahman. I met an individual the other day, and this is a middle-aged person, na? And he comes and says, after one of the bayans about Allah Hazrat's works, and he was surprised, he was shocked that, you know, I never heard of Allah Hazrat, and I'm so overwhelmed and surprised that this person, you know, existed in the Ummah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So you would find people that, you know, maybe didn't hear, or maybe their circle of influences didn't have the mentioning of the name of Ala Hazrat. And so alhamdulillah, Dawud Islam is there, our mashaykh, our ulama are there. If we sit by them and we derive knowledge from them, inshallah azawajal, then we'll get to know who this personality was, what impact he had, even you know, with us today living in this era, that his works are very relevant.
Subhanallah. Of course, he is the reviver of Islam and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So as he revives, inshallah, and brings to the surface the forgotten sunnahs and the forgotten practices of Islam, alhamdulillah. And it is, alhamdulillah, dear viewers, the Islamic etiquette to remember those who have done favors upon you, and Allah's favor, alhamdulillah, is upon the entire Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Give credit where it's due.
Allahu Akbar.
Give credit where it's due. Injustice to not give credit, to not show, this is part of us showing gratitude. Definitely. To Allah Azza wa Jal for sending this Mujaddid Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali. Also a gratitude to Ala Hazrat by mentioning his works, mentioning his blessed name as well, because we are benefiting today. You and I, as Muslims out there, we are benefiting from the hard work and research of Ala Hazrat.
Subhanallah. And inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to read his works and to be inspired by his lovely research that he has produced throughout his life. He has defended the aqidah of al-sunnah wal-jama'ah. He has defended the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He has defended the dignity of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahu Akbar. So we are showing our gratitude in the court of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And at the same time, we are invoking the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us. Alhamdulillah.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'ina wa sallam.
When it comes to the adherence of Sharia in the life of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala anhu, not only did he practice the Sharia of Rasulullah sallallahu was steadfast on it all his life, but he had propagated the Sharia as well and made his students, his followers, fall in love with the Sharia of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he has cleared many misconceptions about what we think of Sharia, you know, in general terms.
Well, there's too many misconceptions out there, because many a people, Muslims in particular, if they are taking the explanation of what the Sharia is from the sources on the internet or from the news, they are going to get a warped understanding.
Yes.
It's not going to be what the Sharia is actually. Like, for example, you would see many news agencies, internet, that what they do is they take maybe a 5% of the penal code of Islam, which can only be implemented by the Qadi, by the Khalifa, they take this.
Or maybe in a state of war or something like
yes,
that.
Yes, and they blow it up like this is the Sharia. A person out there who doesn't have proper knowledge, they'll think like this is really barbaric. This is something that is inhumane. But they don't know the background of it. That is for a specific setting only. The common man on the street can't just take the law into his own hands. That applies everywhere. That applies to the Sharia as well. Now tell me something. Kissing your parents' hands is good or bad?
Allah.
That is Sharia. Looking after your spouse, your children, your parents, is it good or bad? That is Sharia. Honest business dealings, not deceiving, is it good or bad? That is Sharia. So, you know, and there's so many different angles and aspects and facets of the Sharia, depending, we can say, which shu'bah or department you're going to. It's not just one thing which is reserved for, you know, a specific moment in time or by the Khalifa, by the Qadi. Yes, 100%. So, me as a Muslim, I need to learn about this. What is the Sharia actually? What is it based on? What is the foundation of Sharia? What does the Sharia say about my everyday living? Right? I need to learn about this, empower myself with authentic Islamic knowledge so that I don't get fooled by all of these, you know, and they purposefully do it. Intentionally, they try to create the Sharia as something which is, you know, olden days and backwards and obsolete and barbaric. I mean, that is not, whatever that is, that's not the Sharia, but the Sharia is the Islamic sacred law of Allah Azza wa Jalla and Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If we were to raise any objections against Sharia, it is raising an objection against Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala indirectly.
Yes.
Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala made sure of that you know, mm-hmm. any attack on the Sharia of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was never tolerated. And let's get rid of this short-sightedness or narrow-mindedness that, you know what, Sharia is only limited to this aspect of my life, maybe limited to just halal and haram of our lives, and so on and so forth. Even to the extent that Sharia goes on a deeper level, that you know how you should not have malice for one another, for your fellow brothers. Allahu Akbar.
In that category is backbiting,
yes.
Is jealousy,
yes.
Is cutting off relations with your family members. That's also part of Sharia.
Yes.
How come the internet doesn't show you this aspect?
Yes.
How come it doesn't show you the 95%? Because it's Allah. Ulterior motives behind yes. It.
What suits them?
Exactly.
So don't be fooled by whatever anyone tells you, you know, about the Sharia of Islam. It is not that. Learn for yourself. You know, learn for yourself, because if we don't strive to learn our own deen, then what are we striving for? We have lost it completely. You know, if we don't make that effort to learn this beautiful Sharia of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the deen of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is in fact the path of Allah azza wa jal that will lead us to Allah azza wa jal. Allahu Akbar. And Sharia, what Sharia means, Mahasab, Sharia means a path. That is why we call it the Sharia of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Shariat-e Muhammadi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why? Because this is the path that was traveled by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we were guided on this path by our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we need dua in 5 times salat to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us on this Sharia of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah says indirectly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it wajib, meaning compulsory upon us, obligatory upon us, to ask for guidance on Sharia. Because Surah Fatiha is read in every rakat of Salah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it wajib upon us to seek guidance on the Sharia of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in every rakat of Salah. Mm-hmm. And we are obligated to make that dua. Otherwise, Salah without Surah Fatiha,
yeah.
Not accepted.
Yeah. You know, one problem that we see quite common is that a person's priorities get mixed up. That, you know, there's largely or maybe only focus on academic achievements. You know, working your way to get that degree. We're not saying don't get it. We need Muslim professionals as well. That's fine. But your grounding and your foundation is Islamic knowledge, authentic Islamic knowledge. That's your, not only for yourself, but for your offspring also, for your children. I mean, let them study towards whatever degree it is, but their foundation is Islamic teachings. That's where our focus must be. If that is strong, then inshallah, they will become pious doctors, pious lawyers, pious engineers, pious, you know, practical Muslims they'll become. So, you know, that balance has to be there, but the grounding has to be strengthened from small. And that is part and parcel, that's the Sharia, that's the Islamic sacred law, that's the teachings of Islam. And when we mix up these priorities, that I must only focus on a career, then who's going to lose out? What's going to happen in the Akhirah, in the hereafter? If I have a degree or 2 degrees or PhDs and masters, but I don't know how to perform my salah properly.
Allah.
I don't know how to read Quran properly. I mean, what have I achieved? You know, a true success is to leave this dunya with iman. That is the ultimate success. If you left with iman, you are successful. But everything we do, everything we say here, we are accountable on the day of judgment. I need to keep my focus there. Work here for the hereafter.
We are too busy running around this temporary, you know, this passing phase. Life is what a passing phase.
Mm.
Like, what is the life expectancy most of nowadays? 70, 80 around there, you know? And what is the life in the hereafter?
That's eternal.
Subhanallah. Khalidina fiha abada. And we hope from the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal that He makes us the resident of Jannah in the proximity of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fiha abada, inshallah, forever. So we are running behind this temporary passing phase, and we have made it our focal point of our life. Instead of preparing for that life which is going to be eternal, and we want to make it a perpetual Jannah, this dunya, while neglecting our real Jannah that is going to be perpetual. Neither the dunya will stay nor its residence. So,
but you see, we have to live in reality.
Yes.
And it starts with the mindset. If I change my mindset, I change everything. That's where it starts. The reality is that, you know, you have the law of the country. And if I break the law of the country, there's consequences. If I shoot the red robot, and the cop is there, I'm going to get caught. I'm going to get a fine, maybe thrown in jail. If I commit any crime, minor or major, you know, there's consequences for it. Now, if I transgress the Sharia, there's consequences. There's consequences in this world, the grave, and especially on the day of judgment. That's the day when we are each going to be judged. We're going to be held accountable. The witnesses are going to be brought. The book of deeds, this is the evidence that's going to be, you know, used against us as well. So I need to really think hard that Islam, the Sharia, is not something confined in the privacy of your home. That once you leave your home, okay, you can say anything, do anything, and, you know, live anyhow. Islam is an every moment thing of your life. Sharia is an every moment thing of your life. That's what the Sunnah is. The Sunnah is a complete and comprehensive way of living that covers everything, A to Z.
Very beautifully said, Marcel. And you know this, the consequences of this neglecting our daily Islamic basics, you know, and becoming a lawyer and engineer and so on and so forth. We see its results even in this dunya. Like, let's say, for example, we are seeing it happening before our own eyes. A father who's maybe worldly educated, and instead of him even teaching the basics of Islam and the Islamic manners, the Sunnah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Sharia of Islam, even the basics, no, they will never teach them that.
Mm.
Although they call themselves Muslim, they are Muslim families, alhamdulillah. But they are so far away from the Islamic teachings and the Sharia of Islam that, you know, the child may become a great lawyer.
Mm.
You know, even the biggest of lawyers are afraid of him, you know, to combat him.
Can that child perform my janazah salah?
No. And that same child, in some cases it happens, that same child who the father raised him to be such an excellent lawyer and sent him through the university to get the degree and everything, that child ends up suing his own father who sent him for the degree.
Allahu Akbar.
Using the same knowledge.
Allahu Akbar.
Had he been taught the Sharia of Islam and the manners of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and how, what is the respect of my father, what it should be in my eyes?
Suing him or even putting him in the old age home.
Yes. Even
the child who was brought up in an Islamic ethos and knows the respect of parents, mother and father.
Mm.
They wouldn't even think about, you know, dumping my parents and, no, I'm going to look after them. I'm going to, you know, clothe them, feed them, you know, take care of them, because that is sawab for me. Because I'm going to get old one day. I'm going to dump my parents there. What goes around is going to come around sooner than I know. So we have to come back to reality. And who is there to bring us back to this reality? Our Aala Hazrat Rahmatullah Ta'ala, our Amir Ahlul Sunnah Dambar Qatman Aliyah, our Ulama of Ahlul Sunnah, Mashaykh Ahlul Sunnah as well. We are there to keep bringing us back that you're a Muslim. This is what it means to be a Muslim. To abide by the rules and regulations of the Sharia. Sharia of Rasulullah.
SubhanAllah, how beautiful it is. And Aala Hazrat Radiallahu Ta'ala Anhu, he raises a very beautiful point, dear viewers of Madni Channel, pay attention. Sayyidi Ala Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, and he raises this common concern that we all have as Muslims, which Muslim person want to be close to his creator, our Rabb Azza wa Jal, Allahu Akbar. We all yearn for that. This is our ultimate goal, to gain proximity to our creator, Allah Azza wa Jal, and to meet him, Allahu Akbar. Now, Ala Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala says in the light of the Holy Quran that Sharia is the path.
Mm-hmm.
And he says it with full conviction that Sharia is the path on which one meets his creator, Allah.
Allah.
And it is manifest in this ayah of the Holy Quran, Inna Rabbi ala siratim mustaqim. No doubt, my Lord is met on the straight path.
Allah.
Which straight path are we referring to? The path of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Subhanallah.
Sharia of Islam.
Well, I need to decide, you know, which path I want to take. So I want to take the straight path, or I'm taking a detour. Because in my life right now, there could be somebody watching us and who has taken a detour, taken an off-ramp that is leading towards disobedience to Allah Azza wa Jal and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As long as you are alive, as long as you are breathing, the chance is open. The chance is there. The door is still open to come back to Allah Azza wa Jal. Don't be influenced by your peers or by what you see on the internet, by what you see on social media. No, you know, learn Islam from the source, from the Quran. Kanzul Iman is there. From the source, Alhamdulillah, Dawud Islami has, you know, about 40 different online courses on different, you know, topics. Like, Alhamdulillah, we once had very recently an Islah Amal course, you know, a reformation course, and it was beautiful. It was just 1 week. It's unbelievable. These are practical points that watch yourself, check yourself that, you know what, do I have ostentation? Do I have, you know, showing off and, you know, jealousy and backbiting and, you know, how is my akhlaq itself? So, Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal, Dawud Islami has, and if you go onto dawudislami.net, you go into the courses tab, you click on that and you'll see the amount of courses that's available on different types as well. You can enroll online and follow the different informations from there. But knowledge is available, authentic knowledge is available, weekly programs are available. We should take advantage of this, inshallah.
SubhanAllah. Very beautiful, Mu'asab. Also, one another point comes to mind that, you know, we were just discussing how Sharia of Islam governs our entire life. Now, maybe, I don't know, but as far as we can see, you know, there are so many different faculties of sciences and branches of knowledge that govern different aspects of our lives.
Okay.
Let's say, for example, human psychology, it only deals with our the social behavior that we portray. And let's say, for example, numerology, it deals with numbers. Mathematics, it deals with numbers. It can't help you with your health. you know, then you have to, you are reliant on biology and so on. And you know, and if you are an engineer, you're relying on the physics and maths. If you are dealing with the computers and electronic devices, you are reliant on maybe computer science or hardware knowledge of some sort. But this knowledge is not applicable to other parts of our lives. Like each and every sciences that you look at, it has its particular purpose.
Yes.
And it's only limited to that.
Correct.
And Sayyidi Ala Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he opens our eyes and he says that there's absolutely no doubt whatsoever that every Muslim is indeed in need of Sharia every minute and every moment of his life until the time he leaves this world.
Subhanallah.
So this governs from the time we are born till the time we will die, the Sharia of Islam. No such knowledge is so vast to cover this broad spectrum in our life, you know, and to fill this void.
I mean, you've mentioned something very important as well, that if you think about it, from the time that we are born till the time a person passes away, I mean, if we learn about our Islam, then it applies to in every moment of our life. Okay, some people out there might feel like, no, but Islam only has five daily prayers. Those are the prayers, those are the salahs which are, you know, compulsory. But then you look at it, you know, before you eat, you make dua. After you eat, before you sleep, when you wake up, before you go to relieve yourself, when you come out. You know, at every moment in time, whatever action we are doing, you're remembering Allah Azza wa Jalla. That's your little supplications or, you know, prayers, you can say. And if you want to learn, Islam is an everyday, every moment thing. And it tells us that, you know what, control your eyes, your tongue, you know, what you listen to. You want to learn how to sleep, the Sharia is there. You want to learn how to eat, the Sharia is there. You want to learn how to drink water, the Sharia is there. You want to learn how to relieve yourself, the Sharia is there. You want to learn business relations, business transactions, rights of your spouse, your children, your parents, your siblings, your neighbors, near and far. Every aspect, the Sharia covers it. But the issue is that maybe I haven't learned, so I don't know. And I feel like, no, you know, the Sharia is just confined to limited number of things. But it's an every moment thing also, that the Sharia applies in our lives. And yes, we're going to be held accountable on the Day of Judgment. So I need to think deeply that how am I living my life? For whose pleasure I'm living my life? To fulfill my desires? Or to make people happy? Or is it to make Allah and His Rasul happy? Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You know, that's what I need to think about.
And for those of our viewers who are visual learners, you know, sometimes we try to visualize things.
Yeah.
Even the data, which is intangible, we tend to put it in graphs and pie charts and so on and so forth, just to help us visualize it more clearly, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And Allah has put a visual structure, I mean, you know, of the Sharia, and He has put it in perspective. And He says, Sharia is a building or a structure. Its foundation is correct Islamic beliefs. And certain prescribed actions, as you mentioned, the five pillars of Islam. Alhamdulillah. Thereafter, zahir or apparent actions or amal that are outer walls which have been built around this structure. Allah. Whatever we do is built upon this structure.
Beautiful,
of Sharia.
Beautiful way of putting it.
Alhamdulillah. And its foundation is our aqaid. So it comes from here. It starts from here, Alhamdulillah, and then it flourishes. Mm-hmm. And this adds beauty to our Islam in return.
SubhanAllah. You know, if we learn our deen properly, if we know our deen, we learn our deen from authentic sources, nobody can bluff us then. Nobody can put doubts in my mind. And number one is shaitan. He puts these wasawis and, you know, evil whispers in the heart, in the mind, and trying to confuse us. But you know what? Hey, is it like this? Is it like that? Why are people doing... You know, so doubts, you will eliminate, you know, confusions will eliminate, but we have to take that first step. You know, they say the journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. I have to take that first step, you know, towards authentic Islamic knowledge. Because there's too many people on the internet, people on social media that sound eloquent, that sound like, you know, they have too much of knowledge. Like, you know, their recitation of Quran is like beautiful, nice rhythm, nice rhyme. But, you know, you need to see what their background is. This person, what is he feeding me? What am I swallowing from him? Is it really authentic, or is it just a front for him to convey his corrupt beliefs? So I must, you know, take cognizance of this. Look, Dawud Sami has everything. Has more than 80 different departments. You know, working in different fields. FGR, F one side, Maktabatul Madina, the other side, Jamatul Madina, Madrasatul Madina, working amongst different fraternities of people, in the people in the medicine field, and, you know, subhanAllah, you know, whatever you be your field, join into that department.
Wonderful, wonderful. Yeah. SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah. Such a beautiful movement of Quran and Sunnah. What is Sharia? Sharia is whatever has been derived from Quran and Sunnah and Ijma.
No doubt, that's it.
Alhamdulillah. So this is our beautiful deen of Islam, and alhamdulillah, our Dawat Islami is serving that need, you know, of this community. Mm-hmm. That is needy for such inspirations and for such resources. Mm-hmm. Dawat Islam is providing resources as well. They're not only, you know, it's not empty promises or empty words, but actually Dawat Islam is providing us with practical examples. Even when you look at a muballigh of Dawat Islami, you immediately know this person is alhamdulillah steadfast on the Sharia of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah. And this is the barakat of the Maslaki Ala Hazrat, which Dawat Islami has been propagating since its very inception. Allah.
Ala Hazrat, alhamdulillah ta'ala, alayhi himself, you know, he cared a lot for those who were underprivileged, those who were poor. And, you know, this is part of the Sharia also. Those who are poor and needy, you give them your zakah or sadaqat, or, you know, you help them, you uplift them. And even when Ala Hazrat was, rahmatullah ta'ala alayhi, was at that stage when, you know, he was going to pass away, he instructed his family members, don't forget the poor people. Feed them delicious meals, even from your own home. He would tell them this. Because that's what he used to do. And this is something for us that, you know, to derive from lesson that, you know, am I giving, you know, the stale stuff to the poor guy? Allah. Or am I giving that same thing that I will eat? No, so these are beautiful teachings. You know, we mentioned about Salah, no? That's the first action one will be asked about on the Day of Judgment.
Subhanallah.
And that is part and parcel of Sharia as well. Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Ta'ala Ali was so punctual with his Salahs in Jama'ah, with congregation, that an incident comes to mind. Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Ta'ala Ali was traveling to a certain city by train. And so the train stops at one of the stations, and usually they would just stop for like 2 minutes or something. And subhanAllah, it was Maghrib time. Ala Hazrat, he stood for Salah, and there were about 5 people behind him in the train. The train is stationary. So he starts his Salah. And the narrator says that Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Ta'ala Ali didn't rush his Salah. He read how he normally reads.
Allah.
You know, calmly. Completed his... And then the station, the train station guard, he starts waving the green flag. But Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, they're still busy in the Salah. He starts raising the green flag for the train to leave. But he says, I witnessed myself, the train would not move.
Allah.
The train just stopped. And he said, Ala Hazrat then calmly, as he got to his last sitting position, he made his salam. As soon as he finished his salam, the train started to move.
The universe, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, makes it subservient to his men.
SubhanAllah, bishak, without a doubt.
SubhanAllah.
So he said, Ala Hazrat wasn't even in a platform. And this person didn't even know Ala Hazrat is reading his salah.
Allah.
So, you know, if you have the yaqeen in Allah Azza wa Jal, the trust in Allah Azza wa Jal, establish the Sharia of Allah and His Rasul Azza wa Jal wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in your life, then, you know, you witness these kind of things. You don't fear the, you know, the scorns or the insults of the people, because they are just, you know, here today and gone tomorrow. You do what you don't do, people are going to talk. Do to please Allah and His Rasul.
And Uzur, sometimes, you know, we need clarity for ourselves. Like say, for example, adhering to the Sharia, it gives you a clear conscience, you know. Your conscience is clear, you know that you're not doing what you're not supposed to be doing. You know, something that is dodgy. It gives you clarity. You know, there are millions of people, Maasa, you'll be shocked, that are looking for clarity in their life.
True.
And if we were to adhere on the Sharia of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that clarity would automatically come there. I was just reading in the Faizan Riyadh al-Saliheen, a book researched and published by the research department of Da'at Islami, Maktabatul Madina. And such a beautiful commentary on Riyadh al-Saliheen done by the scholars of Da'at Islami. Alhamdulillah. And I'm in love with the research, Allahu Akbar. Under the hadith, Innama al-Amalu bin Niyyat, the commentary, the researchers, they have mentioned that the Islamic Sharia, with reference to Umdatul Qari, that in Islamic Sharia, 1/3 of Islamic Sharia is based upon intention.
Allah.
Niyyah is 1/3 of Islamic jurisprudence.
Allah.
So such is the importance. Now, if somebody has to make amal upon it, act upon it, how would they not gain a clear conscience in their life?
Absolutely, absolutely. Amir Ahl-Sunnah Da'am Barakatum Al-Aliyah, the founder of Da'ud Islam, you know, he advises every now and then on Madani channel even, that, you know, when you wake up in the morning, start your good intentions.
Subhanallah.
When you wake up, you know, read your dua, surahs, wada'if, whatever it is. And start your making a good intention. Ya Allah, today I'm going to read my 5 times salah. Today I'm going to not look at anything evil, not listen to anything evil, not hurt any Muslim's feelings, and you know, do honest business dealings or whatever it is, earn halal income. So from the get-go, start making a good intentions, because it reminds me of the other beautiful hadith that we always quote at the, you know, when there's any bayan or an ijtima or other places, that niyatul mu'mini khayru min amalihi. The intention of a believer is better than his action. So many of us, you know, we may lose out on a lot of thawab because of not making good intentions. And that is one, intention is actually, and there's a beautiful saying that the difference between ada and ibadah is niyyah. If I'm used to tying the Imam Sharif, the turban, every day, it can become a habit of mine. So, you know, it's an adat, you know, the habit. But if I'm tying it with the intention that it's sunnah, so I'm tying it. So, you know, this is where intention comes in.
Inshallah, may the sunnah becomes our habit, inshallah. With intention, we adopt the sunnah, and then it becomes a second nature to us. Inshallah.
Inshallah.
MashaAllah. Madina. And Uzur, at the same time, it highlights, you know, that the Sharia doesn't only deal with our external affairs. Meaning, niyat is something internal.
Yes.
Which is between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no third party there, you know. When it comes to our niyat, it is our internal purification through niyat. Alhamdulillah, whatever matters of the heart that are there. So, 1/3 of Islam is niyyah.
Allah.
It's dealing with the internal self.
Subhanallah.
You know, and the 40 diseases of the heart and so on. So, inshallah, all can be eradicated by practicing on the laws of Sharia prescribed by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then, alhamdulillah, passed down to us through the fuqaha-i kiram, the a'imma-i arba'a. Alhamdulillah, further refined and presented in a beautiful package by Sayyidi Ala Hazrat radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, who was the custodian of the Shariat of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Huzur, not only he, alhamdulillah, he's so great, you know, he has written an encyclopedia of the Sharia of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by the name of Al-Ataya al-Nabawiyya fil Fatawa al-Radawiyya. Now, that is over 22,000 pages, Islamic Encyclopedia of Sharia. When we look at his student, his student is the chief jurist of Sharia, Sadru Sharia.
Subhanallah.
If the student is like that, the ustaz must be on such a level. MashaAllah.
I mean, just by getting to know about the Khulafa and the students of Ala Hazrat, you get a glimpse of, you know, who was this person, Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Ta'ala Ali. Where today, even some, you know, scientists or non-Muslim experts in different sciences and fields, they are starting to appreciate the work of Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Ta'ala Ali, because he was a great mathematician as well.
Allah.
He was a great astronomer as well. And he specialized, you know, in different, scientific fields and disciplines. And yes, he was a great scholar of the deen, great alim, great mufti, great wali of Allah, Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. He was the mujaddid. And Allah Azza wa Jal had blessed him also with, you know, knowledge in mathematics and different types of sciences,
subhanAllah.
And again, we can only really appreciate if we start to read those books. And some of those books are challenging to read, Uzur.
Allah.
You know, when it comes to his formulas and his mathematical equations and his experiments, that is for a person who is maybe a professor.
If you're not expert in the field, it's very hard to even understand, you know, the message he's trying to convey there, because he is on that height.
Ji.
You know, where he is discussing the intricate matters of physics and you know, metaphysics, and sometimes he delves into astronomy and so on and so forth. It's mesmerizing, you know. Alhamdulillah. The little we understand, alhamdulillah, it's sufficient for us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us and grant us more understanding of studying our deen through the writings of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And alhamdulillah, his steadfastness on Sharia, Huzur, as Maa Sahib has mentioned very beautifully, that, you know, he would not miss his salah, whether he was traveling the train, you know, if it's time to go, it doesn't matter. What matters is Maghrib time is a short time, and the Mustahab time is very short in Maghrib. So he wanted to perform his salah in his Mustahab time, and alhamdulillah, such a staunch adherent
with Jama'ah,
with Jama'ah, yes, of course, with Jama'ah. Now, I've also heard from, I've read the writings of the Khulafa of Sayyidi Al Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala anhu at places, and some of the students of Sayyidi Al Hazrat, they mentioned that we used to watch the days and nights of Sayyidi Al Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala very closely. And when he would go in the masjid, alhamdulillah, Ala Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala anhu wasn't someone who, you know, who's sitting here and, you know, like some people who claim to be, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us from such imposters, that he Sayyidi Ala Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala anhu was a true follower of the Shariat of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Punctual on his five daily salahs, and he used to go to the masjid. And perform salah in congregation. And now the awliya Allah, Sayyidina Ghawse Pak radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that, you know, if you want to really measure a person, measure him on the yardstick of Shariat. Place him on the yardstick of Shariat, Quran and Sunnah and the Shariat. And if that person, if it's true to the Quran and Sunnah and the Shariat of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then it is the truth. If it's deviating from there, that is false.
No, absolutely, Mullah Sahib. You know, look, we need rules. Human being needs rules and regulations.
Yes.
Without that, there is going to be chaos.
That's what separates us from animals.
Yes. True. Imagine if we didn't have no robots, traffic lights.
Yes.
What will happen? Everybody is going to be driving into each other. Then you can have road rage. If we didn't have no rules, people are just going to be walking around with weapons, you know, and doing whatever they want. And chaos will ensue. So rules are there for to remove chaos. Rules and regulations are there so that we can live a life in peace and harmony.
Subhanallah.
And the rules of the Sharia is so that we can live in peace and harmony. Externally and internally as well. And we can have that peace and harmony in the akhirat. in the hereafter, inshallah.
Both the worlds, subhanAllah, Madina, Madina.
If we are strict on that, then we are obeying Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because logically as well, you know, without comparison between the Sharia, which is the rules and the laws of Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and maybe the law of the country. If a person is breaking the law of the country, but he's not getting caught, but he's breaking it, and he knows he's doing something wrong, he'll have some regret in his heart, like, some, you know, hey, you know, I'm not a good citizen. Like, unless a person is a hardcore criminal and their heart is, you know, so hard, they don't care. Otherwise, a person who's breaking the rules of the country, he will feel like, hey, you know, what if one day I get caught? And the little fear will be there in the back of the mind. I must think as a Muslim, if I'm breaking the rules and the laws of Allah Azza wa Jal and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what's going to be my condition? How should I react? How should I behave? Shouldn't I turn back to Allah Azza wa Jal? Shouldn't I repent sincerely in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal before I leave this dunya?
You know, our state, Mahasab, is has gone to such a level, as Sayyidi Allah has said, Sharmi khuda khawfi nabiyye bhi nahi wo bhi nahi. Neither do we have the fear of Allah.
Mm-hmm.
Neither do we have any shame to face our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who cried for us day and night for our salvation. And when we go and meet him finally on the day of judgment, and this is what we have to show for being his ummah. Allah.
What will be our condition at that time? Because, you know, they say that if the fear of Allah is removed from a person, that person can do anything, can do the worst of the worst things. If there's no fear of Allah, fear of Allah means the fear of His punishments. Punishments of Allah are severe. They are true. They start in this world. They continue in the grave. And they intensify in the hereafter. So I have to think about this, you know, that a believer lives his life between khawf and raja, between fear of Allah's punishments and hope in the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So I should, in the middle part, that's where I need to live my life.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam. Sayyidi Ala Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala anhu, his steadfastness on Sharia. And in fact, his salah, alhamdulillah, was so dedicated in his salah, that one of his students, they mentioned that, you know, they've watched his days and nights very close. They observed his actions. And he said that, you know, I used to see Allah radiallahu ta'ala performing salah. And one day, and you know, I tried performing my salah to the perfection, you know, with every fard, every wajib, every sunnah, every mustahab, you know. Everything incorporated, and I wanted to perform my salah to perfection, alhamdulillah. And when I finished my salah, I would always find that Al-Hazrat would still be in salah, no matter how much I used to lengthen my salah. After I'm finished with my salah, I would still find Al-Hazrat engaged in salah.
Well, I mean,
after doing it to perfection.
Subhanallah. That these are, you know, these are role models, Huzur.
Allah.
You know, we can't reach at their level, but we can try and, you know, reach somewhere close.
Yes,
if we try. And you see, just like how a person who enjoys something, you know, the person will be so absorbed in it, and then they wouldn't know the time is just gone. So much of time is gone.
Definitely.
So a person like Al-Hazrat, who was strict on Sharia, strict on Sunnah, strict on Salah, that, you know, they enjoyed these things. Here you're communicating with Allah Azza wa Jal, you're worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal, and you enjoy it so much that, you know, you become oblivious to the world around you.
Allah.
That's how our Salah is supposed to be. Unfortunately, I'm saying Allahu Akbar and my mind is somewhere else, physically there, but mentally somewhere else. Let us learn, to how to implement the Sharia in our lives. Some our Master Al-Hazrat Rahmatullah Ta'ala Ali, our Amir Al-Sunnah Dhamma Barakatuh Ma'ali, and our Mashaykh and Ulama as well.
Inshallah, through the Sadaqah of Sayyidi Al-Hazrat Radiallahu Ta'ala Anhu, alhamdulillah, we have someone to aspire to, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
Such as the personality of Sayyidi Al-Hazrat inshallah, and through his following into his footsteps, maybe inshallah we may be lucky to be punctual on the Sharia of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, inshallah. So he is a light of guidance, alhamdulillah, from the torches that was enlightened by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now this is the mission of Da'wat Islam, to strive and reform ourselves in every way possible, because the world is full of challenges, and if we don't prep ourselves for this life going forward, inshallah, and for the life that is eternal in the hereafter, inshallah, who will be at loss? It is us. Everyone will be answering for themselves. I will be answering for myself. You out there, you will be answering for yourself. So if we do not adhere to the Sharia of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what answers will we have to present in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal? That how did we live our life? Are we going to say that we lived our life drowned in sins? Are we proud to say that? No. No Muslim will ever be proud to say that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us against these vices. And inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us and give us tawfiq to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this madani environment of Da'wat Islami. And inshallah, with this pledge in mind, that I must strive to reform myself and the people of the entire world, inshallah, azza wa jal. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam.
The revival of sunnah, the revival of sunnah.